You're listening to the best of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Right Wing World coming up and Representative Judy Chu. But hey, it's a surprise guest. Looky here. Who we were just commenting on his relative gorgeousity. Zach Walls, author of My Two Moms.
Yes.
Everybody remembers that YouTube moment of him testifying about his two moms for the
Iowa
State Legislature. Right. Good morning, Zach.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How are you?
If it's possible, your gorgeousity has only increased.
I appreciate that. You're too kind.
Since we last spoke, I loved your book, by the way. I got to read it on a plane, and what a great read. My Two Moms. Thank you.
I appreciate that. I put a lot of work into it.
Yeah,
When you have moms like mine, frankly, it's an easy book to write.
Well, and now we wanted to talk to you because of the Boy Scout. I mean, this is huge. You are a former Eagle Scout, right?
That's right.
Oops.
Yeah. No.
Oh, there you are.
So sorry. It's been a crazy couple of days. So. About 7 months ago, the Boy Scouts reaffirmed their ban on gays and their membership and said, no, we're not going to allow gay people. And, you know, and as an Eagle Scout and somebody with, you know, openly lesbian parents, I was not very pleased about that. So working with a couple of other folks, I founded Scouts for Equality, and we've really been working with GLAAD to lead the charge against this policy. We've been using an open source platform called change.org. It's a petition starting site. That allows people all over the country to start petitions. And we use that function to put pressure on BSA board members, on the corporate donors, and to empower local councils and regional governing bodies of scout troops and individuals all over the country to really step up and make this change happen.
Well, this is actually pretty huge, isn't it, considering their history?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, like I said, it was only 7 months ago that the BSA came down really hard and said we are absolutely not going to be considering any change to the policy. And so what that tells me is that in the last 7 months, we were able to wage an effective campaign that really highlighted the damage that this policy has at the local level and really showed the BSA why this ending this policy is, in fact, the best move forward for the organization. Now, that being said, Stephanie, there's still a lot of work to do.
Right.
If you read closely, what this says basically is that while the BSA will have no position at the national level, it will not, prevent local units from preventing gay members from joining their units. So while, we're moving in the right direction and this is an important first step, we still have a long ways to go.
Well, they obviously made news again recently, right, with this, they ousted Jennifer Turrell, a lesbian mom, as a den leader of her son's, pack in Ohio, right?
That's right. That was in April 2012, and that was really kind of what precipitated this entire thing. There was a lot of energy around that, and so I actually got involved when I delivered Jennifer's petition to BSA leadership at the also appropriately named Gaylord Palm Spring Resort in Florida over the summer. And that was kind of, when it became clear to us that if we were willing to get the right people together, put the right amount of work and effort into it, that we'd really be able to make the day happen.
Now, Zach Walls, as a former YouTube sensation yourself, but this is why I think in some ways, your testimony before the Iowa State Legislature caused such a sensation is because you put such a human face on it. Just talk so lovingly and movingly about your two, your lesbian moms and how you're a normal family like everybody else.
I don't know if I'd go so far to say we were normal. That might be stretching it a little bit. But we're absolutely a loving and committed family, no doubt about it.
Well, but I think that that's why, we've made so many strides. I mean, look at the, this is the first time a president has ever said the word gay in an inaugural address in America, who mentioned Stonewall, who put it in all the other civil rights battles. But I think that's why we're moving so quickly on these subjects, don't you? Because it just, I think Americans have a basic sense of fairness.
Yeah, no, Americans absolutely have a very basic sense of fairness. That's why we, founded this country, right? No taxation without representation. It wasn't fair.
Right.
So here we are today, over 200 years later, continuing to perfect the union, like President Obama said in his inaugural address. And, perfecting the union doesn't just happen through changing public policy or, they're changing the way state or local governments operate. Part of it is, you know, by the changing the private groups that can, you know, constitute the vast majority of activity in this country. And I think yesterday we saw the Boy Scouts were joining us and continuing to protect the union. Absolutely.
Well, you know, I think it's because of people like you stepping forward, you know, saying, you know, and I remember your testimony so clearly because you were just so compelling. You were, you know, you're this gorgeous guy. You're like, I'm a small business owner and I'm Eagle Scout. And I think that's what, you know, what resonates with people is you go, these people are all just like me and you have moms that you love. You have parents that you love.
Yeah, Stephanie, you're absolutely right. But, you know, look, if it wasn't me, it would have been somebody else. You know, the beautiful thing about standing on the right side of history is that, you know, it's this tie that this kind of carries all of us along. And it's an incredible thing. Absolutely.
Now, the other story that just happened recently was they refused to approve an Eagle Scout application for Ryan Anderson, right, a California teen who came out as gay. And, again, I think when you see, you know, a lot of these people that are, again, Americans' basic sense of fairness, it just, yeah. And, you know, people, kids being excluded like that, it just doesn't seem fair. Isn't that the base of it?
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, I've actually met Ryan. I've been working, so we actually put his mom, Karen, in touch with change.org, introduced her to the platform when she launched that petition. So we've been working very closely from the Andreessen family since day one. Ryan's an incredible kid, and his parents too, Karen and Eric, two incredible human beings. I would be honored for them to be my parents. They're, you know, just they clearly, you know, are there for their son and support him, you know, and who he is. It's a beautiful thing to see, you know. And so when I think about, you know, this basic sense of fairness, I absolutely think that part of it is you know, having, you know, the understanding that, you know, a scout is a scout and, you know, you are what you earn. And not, you know, that will somehow be changed by your sexual orientation or, you know, anything like that.
How your moms feel about the Supreme Court?
You know, we're all holding our breath, no doubt about it. I actually just filed an amicus brief, the friend of the court brief on that case, on the DOMA case, and I believe that they might use it for the Prop 8 case as well. It's really exciting, you know. It's a little crazy.
Yeah.
You know, to have 9 people hold that much power, you know.
Yeah.
People have been saying this, but I'll reiterate it in case, you know, you have a relative of Justice Scalia or Anthony Kennedy who's listening. If you're gay, this would be a great time to come out.
But, Zach, how old are you now?
21.
Okay.
Wow.
I just love any 21-year-old that said, I just filed an amicus brief yesterday.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, you know, I do it again.
Zach, thanks so much for checking in with us on this important topic. My Two Moms is the book.
Yep.
Pick it up, and always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks, Zach.
Thanks, Stephanie. Talk soon.
All right. There.
What a coincidence. I'm wearing my amicus briefs today.
Really?
Yeah.
That was a good choice.
He is so scarily smart and eloquent.
And handsome and romantic. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, he's awesome. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Guess we'll do a skosh.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Sean Hannity.
Those of you that were disappointed over the election results back in November, it's time to get over it. Stop whining. Put your uniform back on.
Okay.
It's time to get back in the game. Yeah, Obama won around here. He got reelected. But we cannot let the country that we love go to hell in a handbasket in the meantime. If you don't get engaged right now, he's going to win the battle. What he wants to transform America into his socialist utopia. By the way, in the process, he's going to bankrupt the country. He's going to take away your constitutional rights.
Uh-huh. What?
For what? Someone that started that with stop whining.
Yeah.
Seemed a little whiny towards
the
end.
That's pretty whiny.
There.
Yeah.
That he's going to set everything on fire and ruin everything.
Right.
He needs to take off his lace panties.
I love stopping a noodle bath.
Stopping a noodle bath.
Great.
With your lace panties.
Exactly.
I say to the Republican leadership, take off your lace panties. Stop being noodle bath.
Prince is going to ruin everything. He's going to...
What's become of Kathy Durr, I wonder?
I don't know.
That's
maybe
actually her name.
I should Google her. Kathy D-I-R-R.
Tea Party. Tea Party, please and thank you.
Yep.
I'm Kathy Durr. I wear lace panties.
Yeah, I was listening to Paul Ryan on Meet the Press, and this is what I think the American people think or want. No. They just voted against you in a landslide.
Yeah.
Here's what I think they want. This is the American people. They don't want what he's... Yeah, they do. Okay, Bernard Goldberg on O'Reilly.
This week, after those hearings, the media began slobbering in earnest. And it will continue, and it will ratchet up when she announces that she's running
Hillary.
For president
okay.
of
all
the
right.
United States.
Okay.
And you know what, Bill? It doesn't matter what you think about this. It doesn't matter what I think about this. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks about it, because these people, these journalists, were born without the embarrassment gene. Nothing embarrasses them about how they behave.
Oh, is this going to be the meme, the right-wing world meme now, is that the media, Jim, as you know, has always historically been so kind to the Clintons.
Uh-huh.
There's always been so much slobbering. And yeah,
right.
Right. God. Okay. Wait a minute. Miranda in Newtown, Connecticut, was at the hearing yesterday that
Ooh,
we talked about
okay.
with the gun enthusiasts.
He's sure.
Hi, Miranda.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I'm calling because I'm from Sandy Hook, and I have really been working to help get, you know, safer gun laws. And I was not only in the March on Washington on Saturday, but yesterday I was in Hartford for these hearings that we were having about safer gun laws.
Right.
And there was a whole lot of people representing the other side, and they had a lot of arguments that really didn't make sense that I thought I might share with you.
Miranda, we did this story about the father of a six-year-old that was killed, that was heckled,
mm-hmm.
was heckled by the gun rights people. Was
yeah,
that...
you know what? I actually didn't. I wasn't able to see that part, mm-hmm. so I can't speak to that myself.
Okay.
But that, I know that is very upsetting. But one of the things that they were saying is that, I mean, I'm sure you've heard this before, that laws will only affect law-abiding citizens, which is pretty silly, because these laws would help make it more difficult for people to purchase guns, and especially, you know, these killing machines. But also, it doesn't even seem to make sense in terms of how laws work, you know?
Right.
Another thing they were saying was, this one guy was saying, people are asking, why do we need high-capacity weapons, but why do we need anything? We have a right to buy things that we want. Well, because they're efficient murdering machines.
Right, and that's why, Miranda, that those arguments just fall apart, because you can't buy a you know, shoulder-fired, you know, whatever you call those things. You can't buy a
Stinger missile.
Right, a rocket launcher. You
RPG.
Can't,
cannon.
You know, I mean,
right.
that just is...
We have to limit it.
ICBM.
Right.
And they're saying that they needed, a lot of them were saying this, I was sitting among a whole bunch of people in an overflow room, and they were saying that they needed, you know, their guns, and I think they really feel this way, that they need them for personal safety, that this is going to protect them, it's their way of protecting their family. Statistically, we know that the opposite is true.
Well,
and so we
right.
can't extend that to saying, now we have to arm school teachers, and we have yeah. to, you know, are we just going to arm everyone everywhere?
They're talking about arming kids
yeah.
now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's, yeah. I was, and we were saying, you can't get away from that statistic. You are 43 times more likely to kill an acquaintance, a friend, a loved one, if you have a gun in the house, than an intruder.
Well, that's why I need 43 times the guns.
Nicole sends me this. Just wanted to tell you, Mama, something about the headlines in Atlanta this morning. In a nutshell, a man was looking for his friend's house, pulled up to the wrong driveway, and got shot in the face by a homeowner because he felt threatened. Okay. I'm just saying there are so many instances where, and that's all Bob Costas was saying, if there wasn't a gun immediately available, you can't tell me there wouldn't be a lot less tragedies. 19 minutes after the hour, we continue Right Wing World next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Sweet Lady Gaga, that is good.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. As we continue Right Wing World, Rush Limbaugh on the main.
One of the reasons that Fox News and I stand out like sore thumbs here is because the rest of the media is gone. The rest of the media is in a tank. The rest of the media has long ago ceased doing their job. They're not reporting. They're not curious. They're not holding Obama accountable. They are on board. They are part of the agenda advancement team. So Obama says, the only thing standing in my way is Limbaugh and Fox. What do the media do? They go after me and Fox.
Mm-hmm.
You are the media.
Yeah.
Yes.
Number one rated radio
yes.
show.
The president made a very good point. He's reacting. The president said one of the biggest factors is going to be how the media shapes the debate. He's talking about any kinds of legislation.
Right.
He said the media can either help or break or uphold partisan gridlock. He said if a Republican member of Congress is not punished on Fox News or by Rush Limbaugh for working with a Democrat on a bill of common interest, you'll see more of them doing it.
Mm-hmm.
The president also conceded the same dynamic happens on the Democratic side, but the difference is just more left-leaning media outlets recognize compromise is not a dirty word. He said nobody gets on TV saying I agree with my colleague from the other party. People get on TV for calling each other names and saying the most outlandish things.
Right.
I mean, how many examples do we have of that where some Republican cowers before Rush Limbaugh and changes his vote? That's pathetic. Thank God no one listens to me. That's the difference on the Democratic leading side. No one listens to me. Right?
What'd you
see?
Say? Sorry.
See? What? See what you did there? What, Jim? Greg Gutfield on the 5.
The press plane became a clown car of bug-eyed bozos tripping over their tumescent tongues as they prostrated themselves before their prince, while mocking FNC for not bending over and taking it like them.
Oh,
no politician left or right deserves this treatment. Aside from abdicating their jobs, you know who the press hurts most? Barack himself. Without feeling observed or checked, he does dumb things, losing the House of Representatives for good. No wonder the guy's got hubris. He's got the entire media, except for FNC, telling him he's Zeus. I suppose we should just try to get over it, but it's hard to when the press admits that we were right and they were in on it. And the media still wonders why we won't jump into that hot tub with Barack.
Hmm.
Well, it's crowded. And frankly, I don't want to catch anything from Paul Krugman.
That's funny. Did he just say Fox News was right? You mean about the election, about Mitt Romney going to win in the landslide?
Fox News was spectacularly wrong.
Yes.
Like famously.
Spectacularly, historically,
he
famously
to be,
wrong.
Yeah. Really obsessed with anal sex over there, too. He had that.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how many times have we heard that storyline, Obama's Zeus? What?
What?
Huh?
Okay.
Oh, he's a Kenyan and he's Greek. No.
Sure. Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
You know, same, you know, socialist, Nazi, Muslim atheist.
Yeah. Mount Olympus, famously in Kenya.
Sure.
Yeah.
Eric Erickson on CNN.
The biggest problem that global warming activists have is every time the conversation comes up, there's a snowstorm. Really, the biggest problem is that, what does it matter? Let's say the president does do something with global warming. China and India aren't going to. Our emissions are down below what they were in 2005. India and China's are going up. So we could shut down production of everything tomorrow that causes greenhouse gases, and China and India aren't. And even if everyone did, the effects wouldn't take effect until about 100 years from now. So it seems like it's a problem we probably have to get used to as a problem, as opposed to something we can cure.
Hurricane Sandy, ring a bell?
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot more of things like
snow
that.
Snow in the winter in the east. I cannot get enough of that science.
But it snows in the winter.
Yes, it's called climate change. It's not just, okay.
And as the permafrost melts, more methane escapes, which is a more potent.
And it makes it stinkier.
It's even more potent than CO2.
And it
enough
makes it
about my night of food poisoning. Okay. All right. Andrea Tantaros on
Men
the
Men have been doing this for a very long time.
Doing what?
And there's a different stigma. Well, going after younger women. And it's more acceptable than when a woman does it. I actually think that everything has become so sexualized now that women who do this feel like it's not as stigmatizing as it was before. There's something about feminism that lets them know I can do everything that a man does. I can even go after that young boy. I deserve it. 40's the new 50. Yeah. I'll even marry him. And the parents go, okay.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That was the point of feminism, was to say you can have sex with young boys?
Yeah.
Computer says no.
Well, I think she was complaining about feminism.
She was.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
Right.
She needs to get back in the kitchen.
You know, for once I'm going to agree with you. Okay. Let's go to Joe in Texas. Hey, Joe. Welcome. Hi, Joseph.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Stephanie?
Go ahead.
Love your show.
Thank you, honey. 30 seconds. Go on.
I want to make a quick point. All this stuff about guns and how to deal with all of that, it's symptomatic. The first thing we have to do is that fear. Nobody arms themselves with anything unless fear isn't first present in their mind and their psyche. They talk about psychological this, that, and the other to get a gun.
Yep.
If you feel like you need a gun, you need to have your head examined.
Yeah.
And the Republicans, come on, man, come on. Isn't it strange that you can use "In God We Trust" and "Where's My Gun" in the same sentence?
All right, 29 minutes after the hour is Representative Judy Chu next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh-hoo.
4th of July fireworks were operated by the person most likely to be sober and dateless. Once again, the honor fell to me.
Stephanie Miller.
I don't know about the sober part.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to. That's how you know I was really sick. No drinking. I mean, come on. Really?
And no exercise.
Woo! I'm fine now. Nobody help me. All right, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Obviously, everybody talking about immigration reform yesterday. Representative Judy Chu of the great state of California joins us. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning.
It's so nice to talk to you again.
It's great to talk to you.
Well, you know, we always wonder with all of these issues that we've talked about so many times before, is this time going to be different? And it seems like certainly the optics and the politics of it have changed. What do you think?
I think it is different. The Senate bipartisan announcement made yesterday was very, very encouraging. In fact, I think 2013 is the year that we can have immigration reform because the American people support it, Democrats and the president want it, and Republicans need it.
Well, that's why I'm just looking at a majority of Americans, 51%, thinks illegal immigrants working in the U.S. should be able to stay and apply for citizenship. So it is interesting. I mean, it's not, and I think the Republicans are learning this demographically in terms of just politics. I mean, John McCain basically came out and said that yesterday, right? You know,
yes.
We're losing the Hispanic vote. I mean, and there's part of you that thinks, well, that's kind of cynical, and yet you think if that's what it takes to get something done, then I guess that's what it takes.
It is practical politics. They lost the Hispanic vote. 71% went for President Obama. 73% of Asian Americans went for President Obama. That overwhelming vote had to do with immigration reform.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the thing I've never understood about this issue, Representative, is that last time, and, you know, we're going to hear it again, the House Republicans are going to scream amnesty. Didn't the last time we didn't get this done, we just gave automatic amnesty to 11 million people? I mean, by not doing anything about this, we are doing something, aren't we?
Well, that is true. And I think we have a much better pathway here. If we have a dialogue on fair provisions, we can't have a bill that can be fairer to Americans and make sure that every American is held to be equal and that they can have rights no matter what they look like or where they came from.
Representative Chu, it's, you know, when you talk about is this going to be different, I know that a couple of my listeners has expressed concern that, you know, one of the things in this bill, at least the bipartisan thing that was set forward yesterday, is that when the border is deemed secure, some of this, but I mean, aren't the Republicans going to basically never say the border is secure enough? Is that a concern of yours?
I do have a concern about this because we've spent more on border security than on all other forms of security combined. We have spent enormous amounts on this issue. And in fact, there are fewer people that have to be detained at this point because fewer are crossing over. However, I do think that there is a legitimate issue with regard to at least knowing who is in our country with regard to those who've overstayed visas. I do think there is some dialogue that can take place here.
Listen to John McCain yesterday real quick here.
The Republican Party is losing the support of our Hispanic citizens. And we realize that there are many issues in which we think we are in agreement with our Hispanic citizens, but this is a preeminent issue with those citizens.
Does that help them or hurt them to actually say out loud, we're losing the Hispanic vote? I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know how the politics of this is going to play out. Do you?
At least he's being realistic.
Right.
And also, people would be more likely to believe that immigration can be done this year because he said such a thing. We do know that it is an incentive for Republicans to come to the table on this issue. And then finally, we can get something done that can ensure that people will be treated fairly and that families won't be split apart, that the young people and the scientists who are educated here will be able to stay and that we won't lose them to other countries.
Representative, take us through legislatively what happens now in terms of what happened yesterday. That was basically the senators putting forward a bipartisan proposal. Now what? How do you see this playing out?
Well, the president will give his speech today, and I think that will be the official starting bell for the immigration reform debate in Congress. He will speak broadly about the changes that we need to make, but then hearings will take place. In fact, I am on the Judiciary Committee in which this debate will take place, and the hearings will start on Tuesday in our committee. I believe that there will be bills that will come out this spring on both the Senate and on the House side, the bills will be passed in the spring. A conference committee will then try to reconcile those two bills.
Are we going to hear the same sort of rhetoric from House Republicans? Because, you know, you look at John McCain, you think, well, this is his third flip-flop on this issue. First, he did comprehensive immigration reform with Kennedy. Then he backed totally off it when he was running again. Now he's back on the side of comprehensive reform. I mean, do you think this will play out differently on the House side this time?
The House side might pass an enforcement-heavy bill that would attract more of the Tea Party crowd. But I believe that this conference committee process that will put together the Senate bill, which I believe will be more reasonable, can have a fairer bill in the end that can pass both houses.
Mm-hmm. And what, you know, it's hard to say, I mean, on all of these issues, I mean, I look at, you know, we're also talking about the gun debate at the same time. And, you know, it is interesting what the president keeps saying. If the American people want it, it will get done. And I think we can't overstate that enough, right, about let your legislators know. When you look at the majorities that want immigration reform, that want sensible gun control measures, I don't want to give up hope yet that, you know, the politics are going to be the same every time. Do you?
I think that the American people are speaking. I was so encouraged by the huge march in Washington on gun violence prevention, and I believe that there will be a strong voice, a voice of unity by all those who want immigration reform very soon. The American people want to make sure that this is a fair country and that it's not about what you look like or where you were born that makes you American, that it's how you live your life and what you do that defines who you are in this country.
Representative, it seems to me on all these issues we talk about, it really is trying to figure out how to overcome these House Republicans who do not speak for the majority of Americans. I mean, I'm looking at the Superstorm Sandy relief. A whole bunch of Republicans voted against it. Since when does that happen in our country, that we don't give emergency relief to people?
Yes, I could not believe it myself. But nonetheless, I was encouraged by the fact that Speaker Boehner allowed for the bill to take place. It did pass with a majority of Democrats. At least he allowed for it to pass, even with a minority of Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think that, like you say, at this point, any progress we can get with House Republicans is some progress, right?
Absolutely.
Representative, thanks as always for this is an important issue. We'll talk as the immigration debate rolls along.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Representative Judy Chu of the great state of California.
Yay!
From right here. Oh, by the way, is Sheriff Babu?
Babu.
Right, from Pinal County.
Pinal County.
Right.
Arizona.
Right. Did you see he was on Al Sharpton's show to discuss why he penned a letter to President Obama refusing to enforce his laws and telling him, you're not a dictator or a king.
But
who can act unilaterally, ignore our legislative process of lawmaking. And then when he was pressed on the issue, he was unable to point out any concrete action Obama has taken that would fall into that category.
Yeah.
He was forced to admit that none of the president's 23 executive actions create any new laws or violate the Constitution.
He's the county's highest law enforcement official. He needs to enforce the laws.
You're not the boss, man.
Not his laws, but the laws.
Right. Exactly.
So there.
Okay. Let's go to...
Sheesh.
Glenn in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Glenn.
Yes. Hello, Stephanie Miller.
Yes, hello.
I love your show.
Thank you.
You know, Stephanie Miller, I've been hearing a lot of talk about this gun debate, right?
Yes.
And I hate to say it, we're still missing one big key factor here. Is that it's not the guns that are really killing the people. It's the people that have the guns because they're the ones making their decisions, making ultimate decision to go out and use these guns.
Right.
And so it's kind of like, I don't see why they want to stiffen the gun laws, because at the end, no matter how many gun laws that they stiffen, oh, yeah, and I'm in California. California has the worst gun laws. Gun shootings are taking place.
Then you don't think
really
it's part of the problem, the amount of guns we have? We have almost a gun for every person in this country. 300 million something guns. I mean, do you think there's a reason our gun violence is a bazillion times more than most countries?
Yeah. But you know what, though? I also think that when they took prayer out of schools,
seriously? Seriously?
Really? Yeah. Dude, yeah. Really? Yeah.
Sure.
Here's what Stephanie Miller thinks about that. That's it. Yeah, that's the, okay. All right.
You think people aren't praying when people are coming to kill them in their schools? Is that the problem? Not enough prayer?
Yeah. So here's the thing, as I was saying, everybody, even the president's talking about gun control advocates have to listen more. Everyone on every side of this, except the gun nuts, is willing to go, you know what, let's look at this in a different way. President Obama says gun control advocates should be better listeners in the debate over firearms.
Yeah.
See, I tried to listen there. It's just, seriously, how many times can you hear guns don't kill people, people kill people?
Gun violence went up in prayer. They're not saying under God during the Pledge of Allegiance. That's the problem. God's angry.
The president said he has profound respect for the tradition of hunting that goes back for generations. I think those who dismiss out of hand make a big mistake. Part of being able to move forward is this understanding that the reality of guns in urban areas are very different from the realities of guns in rural areas. He said it's trying to bridge those gaps. I think it's going to be part of the biggest task over the next several months. And that means all of us backing off our talking points. Please, please don't do the guns don't kill people. Please don't, please. I'm gonna, really?
It's the damn bullets.
Right. That's the damn video games. Fast.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that's what I'm saying. Everybody needs to look at it in a fresh way and just leave the talking points at home. Stephen King, by the way.
Yes, owner of our fine affiliate in Bangor, Maine.
And don't we love
it? Banger.
He has penned Guns, a 25-page essay dismissing the criticism of, people that say violent. Because he obviously has violence in his books.
He does. Right? And I enjoy his books mostly because it has violence in it.
Awesome. Good for you.
I've never tried to murder anyone with an axe, and yet I've seen The Shining several times.
Although, in the book, it wasn't an axe. It was a croquet mallet.
True.
So, okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you for that.
No
Thanks
problem.
Thanks for that distinction.
It is a distinction.
He's called for universal background checks on gun purchases, a ban on assault weapons, and high-capacity magazines. A self-described blue state American who also owns guns, King is no stranger to how individuals can and do turn to art as inspiration for violence. During the 90s, no fewer than four shooters read Rage, an early work King wrote in high school years and published under a pseudonym, entered their high schools with guns, held students and teachers hostage in some cases.
I read that book.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Explains a lot about you.
I'm a huge Stephen King fan.
Here's the difference. Again, people on different sides of this debate. After copies of Rage were discovered in the possession of multiple high school shooters, King voluntarily pulled the book from publication.
That's right.
I'm just saying, the only immovable objects in this debate are the NRA.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just don't want to have any kind of even discussion. He said, you don't leave a can of gasoline where a boy with firebug tendencies can lay hand on it. He writes in Guns. He says, while art that taps into the heart of a troubled soul can accelerate violence, there's little evidence it causes it. Those arguments often advanced by conservative lawmakers with ratings from the NRA. And the NRA throw popular culture into the bait in the hopes that it'll be the scrapping chung to piranhas, hungry for scapegoats, but reluctant to fight difficult matters to make America safer.
Chung to piranhas?
Chung.
Connie Chung?
Chum. Not Chung.
No.
Connie Chung has nothing to do with this story. King writes
you
to
throw
claim...
Connie Chung to the piranhas? How dare you?
Maury Povich, have my head. To claim that America's culture of violence is responsible for school shooting is tantamount to the cigarette company executives declaring that environmental pollution is the chief cause of lung cancer. That's all I'm saying. You cannot dismiss out of hand the amount of guns and the kind of guns we have available as being part of the problem.
And the chum that we
have
available.
Right, and Connie Chung. 48.
Connie Chung is the big part of the problem.
Right, everybody, Connie Chung tonight. 48 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The only place in America where dissent is still allowed. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I said, are you gonna be my girl?
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online. Check it out. You can even present from your iPad. Try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in that promo code, Stephanie. I heard you guys talking about this yesterday. What's up with Scott Brown's tweets? Drunk tweets? What did we decide? Ambien tweets?
No, happening? I think that someone, like a staffer or something, also had access to his Twitter account and was mistakenly tweeting. Because when you use a Twitter client like TweetDeck or something like that, you can easily tweet as someone else thinking that you're tweeting as yourself.
Nothing good ever happens from tweets after...
Remember, I have access to both your Twitter account and my Twitter account, so that could easily happen.
That could easily go awry for me.
It totally could, so.
Boy. Okay. I didn't
just another
that.
Reason why I don't do that. Sure.
Yeah,
I believe in the anti-social media.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, hey, looky. This is a happy clappy story.
All right.
Because just when you think, when Jim gets all Eeyore... They're going to steal the house, Pooh. They're going to steal the next election.
Well, they already stole the house.
Well, yes. However, key Republicans back away from electoral vote scheme. That's the thing. That's the thing about shining a light on something, right?
Yeah.
Momentum for an RNC-backed plan to rig blue electoral states in favor of the GOP presidential candidates appears to be stalling as more Republicans come out against the idea. See? Little potato bugs and creepy crawlers, when you shine a light on them. Okay, in Virginia,
you could bite him in the ass eventually.
Right.
So.
In Virginia, one such bill that passed out of the Senate subcommittee this week appears to be close to dead. Two Republican state senators have already announced their opposition enough to block the bill's passage on Friday. Governor Transvaginal Bob came out against the proposal as well, announcing through a spokesperson, Virginia's existing system works just fine as it is, and not believe there's any... It's only because they got called out, Jim. You're absolutely right. Republicans in five other states that voted for President Obama... but whose state houses are currently under unified GOP control are contemplating similar electoral vote schemes. Florida maybe now out of the picture for now as well. So blah, blah, blah. I just thought this was a happy, clappy story. On a national level, newly reelected RNC chair, Reince Priebus! Declared his support for splitting up the electoral vote in blue-leaning swing states, including his home state of Wisconsin. Former RNC chair Haley Barbour broke with him on Friday, telling Andrea Mitchell he does not back Priebus's plan and did not believe it enjoyed widespread GOP support.
What do you mean you don't back my plan? It's not fair.
His nephew Henry Barbour also dismissed the Priebus scheme as a gimmick. So there.
And yet, they reelected him as the head of the RNC.
They love that story that he has the Clint Eastwood chair in his office. And he uses it to explain to people what went wrong with the Republican Party. Who's in charge of this mess?
Hey, who did that? Who's in charge of all that? It's not fair.
Mitt Romney's former Iowa campaign advisor told the local NBC affiliate there, GOP needs to give up the culture war. Recognize the demographics on key social issues are undergoing major changes. He said younger people want to move past the old arguments on the culture wars. Frankly, the culture wars are over and Republicans largely lost. Did you see Paul Ryan whining yesterday? Where was this speech? He said Republican lawmakers can't get rattled and shouldn't play the villain in the president's morality plays.
Oh, yeah.
Well, stop being villainous then.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, Bobby Jindal was one of the people that said the Republicans need to stop being the stupid party. Here are the fun facts on why he's one of the people making the Republican Party the stupid party.
Okay.
Number one, he permits Louisiana schools to teach creationism.
Herp derp.
Exactly. That's what it's called. Let's see. He allows state employees to be fired for being gay.
Herp derp.
He has signed bills to intimidate women seeking abortions.
Sigh.
Number four, he seeks to dramatically cut taxes for the wealthy, increase taxes for everybody else.
Number
five, he refuses to provide health care for Louisiana's poorest. Yeah, so his policies aren't really any different, even though he talks later.
His policies are all herp derp.
Exactly. Oh, why not end with Billy from Texas? Hi, Billy in Texas.
Hi, guys. Listen,
hi.
I heard with interest you mocking Sean Hannity again.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Earlier in the hour.
Right.
And for suggesting that Obama's attempting to lead us down the road to a socialist utopia.
You seem a little tuckered out by your talking points this morning. Are you okay?
Talking points?
Yeah, that's kind of a talking point.
My question for you guys is, when are y'all just going to stand up and admit it? that's what you want to do.
Well, do you know what socialism is? Do you know what's the definition of socialism?
I think I do.
What is the definition of socialism, Billy?
It's a Marxist.
Skeeter. He did. He seemed winded by his own talking points. Sean says, "President,
Nazi socialism, Kenyan."
All right, that's Nazi. It for us. I'd like to thank Chris Lavoy, Jim Ward, Travis T-Bone on phones and drums, Jackie, Courtney, and the whole gang over at Current. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You're listening to the best of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Oh, I've been waiting so long to say this again. Good morning, Senator Barbara Boxer of the great state of California. How are you? Senator Boxer?
Yes, hi.
There you are.
I am. I'm right here.
How are you, Senator?
Doing well. How are you doing?
We've missed you so much.
Well, I'm here.
Chris and I got to go to your private luncheon after the inauguration, which was so much fun to hang out with you and your family.
Yes, thank you for that.
I'm really glad you were there. And I did that 4 years ago, and I felt that a lot of the Californians were freezing and they needed a little bit of a warm place and a little bit of warm food. So we did that again this year.
And can you tell, our favorite part is when a small grandchild launched himself into your arms when you were in mid-sentence and you didn't miss a beat.
Well, that was my chief of staff's son. It wasn't my grandchild.
Okay.
But he just whoop right up. And that's why I said something like, I'm glad you still love me since I always take away your mommy from you.
But before we start, I got to meet your delightful daughter, Nicole, who's coming on the show, mm-hmm. who did the Academy Award nominated film Invisible War.
She's an executive producer.
Yeah. I mean, but I thought, and it's interesting with this whole debate now, women in combat, obviously the subject of it is women being assaulted in the military, which, you think, boy, that's a bigger issue than women in combat, right?
Well, in many ways, I think it's kind of tied together, because I think when women are allowed to be truly equal to men, and if they qualify, can go, all the way up the ranks, including combat, I think it'll help us with that. Because as we know, when you look at this violent crime of rape, there's a lot of power involved in it. And right. So I think the equality of allowing women in combat is going to help it. But let me just say, aside from that, men and women are raped in the military.
Right.
And it is shameful. We think it's about 19,000 cases a year. And these are people putting their lives on the line, and they are forever scarred. So I am very hopeful that just getting this issue out in the open is going to help us in the future make sure it never happens again. One final point on that is that in this last defense bill, I had an amendment I've been trying to get done for many years, 5-6 years, that says you can't take anyone into the military who's been convicted of sexual assault. We finally got it done. So clearly, there's an awareness of this, and that's a good thing.
Well, Senator Boxer, we got a chance to meet you're a proud mom and mm-hmm. grandmother, and it was interesting. We've been talking, obviously Wayne LaPierre and others are going to be testifying today on gun issues, and I have said that you've talked about National Guard in the schools, and I've said not only because it's your idea and I, as revere you, but secondly, I'm not a parent. And I think that if I were after Sandy Hook, I think there are so many facets of this.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to look at all of it. We need to look at guns. We need to look at mental health. We need to look at and we're not going to solve both of those problems overnight. So I think it's a multifaceted problem.
You're right.
It's multifaceted solutions, right?
You're absolutely right. And, what I said was what we need to do is if the schools want better security. We should help them here at the federal government. And I laid out several ways. The point is, you don't put the National Guard person at the school, but you use that individual to relieve a police officer who's at a desk job to send them out. And it's only if the schools want it. But it seems to me, as you look around here in Congress, excuse me, we have a lot of security, and I don't see people saying give it up,
right,
because it's just a dangerous world, and
right,
you know, you can't live your life in fear at all. So I just think these modest steps, clearly we need background checks,
right,
on everyone who tries to get a gun, just to make sure they're not mentally ill, to make sure they don't have a criminal past, et cetera, and they're stable. Yes, certainly the Second Amendment prevails, but there has to be some responsibility attached to gun ownership, just like there's responsibility even attached to speech. You don't yell fire in a crowded theater. So
right,
the point is, I think if we move this way, and I want to say my colleague, Senator Feinstein, she's out there with the assault weapons ban, with the ban on high-capacity clips, and I think it's very clear that when you look at the types of weapons that are on our streets today, they're weapons of war. And,
right,
and it doesn't make any sense. And people who get trained to doctors to go out into combat zones get their training many times in the inner city. I mean,
right,
what is wrong with this picture?
Right. Senator Buxton, one of the things we were talking about today, though, is yeah, there's a story on CNN.com, how the violently mentally ill can buy guns. That is, because we're told Wayne LaPierre today is going to say there's no point in background checks because, bad guys will get guns anyway. This old talking point. I mean, how do we fix this system? Because obviously the Virginia Tech shooter, among others, were able to legally pass background checks despite being declared violently mentally ill.
Right. Well, number one, if everyone agrees, the database on the mentally ill is not up to date. So we've got to make sure that database from the states is working. And I believe that President Obama, in his executive orders, is moving to just make sure that current law is truly enforced. So we're going to look at that. But look, the argument that you can never stop all bad things from happening, you could say that about every single thing in life.
Right.
But you don't sit back and do nothing.
Well, right. We said earlier, why have any laws of any kind then?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And by the way, there are some people who feel that way. And they're very extreme. But the point I want to make here is, after 9/11, we put security in at our airports. And it's not perfect at all. And Lord knows, yes, anything bad could happen. But it's a layered defense. You know, when you go to buy an airline ticket, they check you. You get in there, they check your bag. They check your ticket. You know what it is.
Right.
The hassle
right.
is what it is. But the fact is, knock on wood 100 times, you know, it's working.
That's
so
right.
far. It's not perfect. But if you took that attitude of you can never make anything safer or better, I don't buy into that. I think all of life is a balancing act. You don't want to go overboard, but you want to do the things that make sense.
Right. I was going to say, you might as well go home and just spend time with your grandkids. There's no point if you're doing anything in the government.
Well, let me think that
anymore.
One over for
Senator,
5 minutes.
Senator Fox, I know you probably saw it today. The president's favorability rating, the best, he's at 60%, huge approval for the inaugural address, which, as you know, a lot of critics labeled as unbelievably liberal. I mean, isn't the point that the American people agree with him on most all of these issues, including immigration reform, which
yeah.
he spoke so eloquently about yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this time there is really going to be a will to get something done on comprehensive immigration reform?
I do believe there's a will to get something done, and I don't know everybody's motives, but frankly, I don't care. What I do know is that we've got young people here who came here when they were a year or two or three or four who are living in the shadows. They're many wonderful people. We call them the dreamers. We got to take care of them. The president gave them a reprieve, but that's got to be settled. We've got people working in California and other states in the agriculture industry who were working their fingers to the bone, who live in the shadows, get exploited. That's wrong. So, you know, I mean, I hate to admit this, but I was here the last time when Ronald Reagan said we needed to do something about this, and we did. Yep. And it's been that long, since the 80s, since we've addressed this issue. And I think the president is definitely reflecting the American people. And I would say all this business of it's liberal, it's conservative, I don't know what's liberal or conservative anymore. It's really whether you have a heart and a pulse
right.
or not.
That's right.
You know,
well,
that's
and,
all
and,
right. I say.
And the difference I see in our side, too, is Marco Rubio, your colleague, went on Rush Limbaugh
yeah.
to run past, you know, his views,
yeah.
whereas you come on my show, but you don't care what I think, which is, I think, exactly right. But they take their marching orders, as the president said the other day, at times from Rush Limbaugh and Fox News, and that is going to be an impediment to getting anything
yeah,
done.
Yeah, well, Rupert Murdoch now says he's for a comprehensive immigration bill, so maybe he's told his friends at Fox to stand down on this. We'll see. but it is sad that people, you know, make every single thing is about, is it good for Barack Obama or bad? I have to
right.
say, when John Boehner, the speaker, said, well, I hope the president doesn't push this bill to the left and make it impossible. I mean, why doesn't he just say, isn't it great? We're all on the same page. We have an issue. It's challenging. It's going to be tough. But let's all work together. Oh, no. The president should just be quiet. You know, that's his message. Well,
right.
I know the president will not be quiet. The president is going to hold our feet to the fire, and we're going to get this done.
Yeah, and I agree with you that I don't care why they do it. They tend to blurt things out you're not
right.
supposed to say out loud. Like, we need to get the Latino vote back. It's, no,
bingo.
That's the point. That's the thing you're not supposed to say out loud.
I couldn't believe it. I have to shake my head when John McCain said
right.
on national news, you know, it's the Latino vote. As if the Latinos aren't listening to this. I mean,
right. They have some sort of different hearing that they didn't hear
yeah.
that. Right.
Yeah.
As a gay person, I have to say I was thrilled, like many people were. This is the first president that ever said gay in an inaugural address. Linked
yes.
Stonewall to all our other civil rights battles.
Yes.
You said at the lunch, at your luncheon right after the inauguration, you said, you know, as obviously someone on leading the Environment and Public Works Committee, that the president mentioned climate change was so thrilling to you.
Yes.
And you know, the fact that, wow, we might really get something done on that. What is your hope about that particular issue?
Well, here's the situation. And it tends to get overly complicated, but let me make it as simple as I can. The problem and the reason we see climate change is too much carbon pollution in the air. So you have to get the carbon down, because when your carbon pollution is in the air, it forces the temperatures up. The temperatures go up. The oceans are going to be too high. There's going to be flooding, sandy. We know what the future holds. It's awful, truly, for the planet. So here's the good news. The good news is that about more than 75% of the sectors that cause the problem, that is the industrial sector, the transportation sector, and the electrical sector, okay, that is already covered under the Clean Air Act. So without one change in the law, if Obama picks a good person over the EPA and just carries out the Clean Air Act, we can really make enormous progress. And
we had lunch in the room that the Clean Air Act was written in.
That's right.
You told us that fun fact.
You
we
sure
were there.
Did. All the major landmark laws, which the American people cherish, which, by the way, Boehner's House tried to essentially repeal and really defang. They sent over this horrible legislation. We stopped it all in the United States Senate. But.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the good news is that a strong EPA can really make progress. Now, a lot of the special interests, the big oil, the big coal, they'll all scream and yell and all the rest and sue. But the fact is, it's clear that the Clean Air Act covers carbon pollution. Now, the rest of it are smaller pieces like agriculture, and it's about 7% of the emissions, and about 11% come from buildings.
Right.
And I'm going to try to go after that 11% in a good way by essentially putting out sort of a revolving fund. People with older homes, big landlords with older buildings, can borrow interest-free to make these homes energy efficient. And that's going to save a lot of pollution. It's going to stop a lot of pollution. So there's,
right.
I think we can actually do something here.
Wow.
Now, we have a tremendous amount of opposition. But
yeah, it's so surprising from the House Republicans. Senator, I could talk to you all morning. You've got to tell me quickly about the Line Act before you go, though, because there may be nothing else more important than these long lines that voters faced in November. Just tell us about the Line Act.
Absolutely. Well, what's happened in this last election is we saw horrible waits all over the country. In Virginia, some areas 4+ hours to vote. In Florida, 7 hours in some areas. Matter of fact, some voters didn't vote till 1:30 a.m. on Wednesday. Yeah, 200,000 voters in Florida actually gave up. And that was a study done by Ohio State. So if it had been a close race, it could have made the difference. So what I did is, with a really good staff that I have here, and who really looked at it, because I said, look, I don't want to do something that's very complicated. All we basically said is, we're going to set minimum national standards for the number of voting machines and poll workers so that we assure that no voter waits more than an hour. And in states that have these problems, the governors of those states will work with the Department of Justice and put forward remedial plan so that this doesn't happen again in the national election. It's pretty straightforward. But, clearly, the right to vote is not a right if you have to stand online for hours and you're sick and you can't or you have a baby or a job. And
you're forced to choose between democracy and your family or whatever, as you say. Senator, I'm looking at a tear-stained sheet of paper where I was going to talk to you about the Republican attacks on women's health, the Chuck Hagel nomination, Secretary Clinton, Benghazi, but I'm out of time now.
We'll do this again. Absolutely. I enjoyed it very much.
You have to come back. We've been dying to talk to you about so many issues and just such a thrill to spend time with you on Inauguration Day. And
I know
you had another thing with the president, but thanks for stopping in.
I was running back and forth between you and the president. So you should feel very, very honored.
I do. Senator, always a pleasure. Talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. Senator Barbara Hi.
Hodges. Mr. President, I can't talk now. Stephanie's on the line.
Yeah.
Yes. Sorry,
I'm sure she had that conversation.
POTUS, I have to go. Look, it's tear-stained. I had so much to talk to her about. She'll be back. All right, 22 minutes after the hour. Kids, I went way long with that, but I still have time to tell you about Carbonite because I'm going to save that interview in Carbonite.
We all are.
Right?
Yeah, because if I lose that interview...
Right?
Oof. You're fired.
That's one thing I never lose. I have that soundbite in there ready to go. We all have valuable things. In our computers, we're adding new files all the time. But who has time to remember to back stuff up? You're making business calls. You're doing emails. You're thinking, I don't. And then Pluie. Right?
Pluie?
Right.
Does that sound your
That's
computer
the sound
makes?
Of a virus. It's the sound of a power outage. Oh. It's the sound of a Chardonnay spilling on a laptop, whatever, and everything goes gone. Yeah, exactly. Everything's gone in your computer. You know what? You can replace a computer. You can't replace the stuff in it unless you have Carbonite. You can easily recover all those backup files with just a few clicks, and it's so affordable, just $59 a year for unlimited backup space for all of those important files. Carbonite also has plans to back up all the computers at your small business for just one low flat annual fee. Go to Carbonite.com now. Type in my offer code Stephanie. Free trial, no credit card required. Plus, you get 2 free bonus months with your subscription. Carbonite.com. Do it. Offer code Stephanie. 23 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Free speech? What a concept. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Back again. Check it, direct it, let's begin. Party on, party people, let me hear some noise. Stephanie Miller. In the house, jump, rejoice. There's a party over here, a party over there. Wave your hands in the air, shake the dairy, yeah.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie
there
Miller.
It is.
Senator Boxer completes me. Oh, I love her so much. I had so much more to talk to her about.
We'll have her on again.
For instance, as I mentioned to her, a new Washington Post ABC News poll, Jim, shows the president with 6 in 10 voters. That's nearly 60%.
Yeah, very close to that, yes.
Saying they have a favorable impression of the president's his highest approval rating.
Yep.
In blah, blah, blah. 37% unfavorable. Obama appears to be harnessing a well-received inaugural address, of which 51% said they approved, 24% disapproving. So there.
Despite the far right saying that it was the most liberal speech ever in the history of ever.
Like it. American people like it.
I think the idea of liberal being a pejorative those days are over.
Yeah. All the L words are cool now. Okay. Matthew in New York real quick. Hey, Matthew. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Hey, Jim Ward rules.
Right.
Oh, by the way.
Right.
I just had to say that.
Totally. Right.
Okay. I got a serious question. For weeks,
now. I've heard that, you know, responsible gun owners, you know, they approve of these measures.
Right.
You know, for, you know, responsible
the government,
gun ownership.
President's proposals, right.
Yeah, or Joe Biden's, whatever.
Yes.
But anyway, I'd like to know, my question is, how many gun owners or these responsible gun owners have dropped out of the NRA?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I would, after his last press conference, I would have ripped up my card if I were you. But 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I think he might be the one. You've only known him for 10 minutes.
I know, but sometimes you find out a guy owns a winery and you just know.
Boy, howdy. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. The president, obviously, yesterday talking about immigration reform.
Now is the time to find a better way to welcome the striving, hopeful immigrants who still see America as the land of opportunity.
One of our dearest union friends, United Food and Commercial Workers Union, I've had the honor of speaking to them many times. Joe Hansen joins us now. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Good to talk to you again.
It's been a while.
I loved a lot of what the president had to say yesterday. Talk to us about union's role in all this.
Well, union's role, it goes back a long time. We've always been active in the issue. There was a real switch in 2000 in the AFL-CIO, and they changed completely the way we talked about immigrants and realized that immigrants, they have a place in our society and that we ought to help them get a decent place in that society. And so it's been a number of efforts along the way. There was an immigrant freedom ride that we did, and in my union, the UFCW, we've had immigrants in meatpacking and poultry plants and retail establishment for years. And it's been a long struggle to get this far. I think the election was a turning point. And yesterday, when I was listening to the president and I was there, what I think struck me the most is that he is willing and will lead on this issue, and he is very firm on it. And I think that there is a real chance to get a decent, comprehensive immigration reform bill through Congress.
Well,
I think it could happen the next couple months.
Yeah, Joe, that's what he said. He said the question now is simple. Do we have the resolve as a people, as a country, as a government to finally put this issue behind us? I believe that we do. I was just talking to Senator Boxer, and she was even flabbergasted that John McCain said out loud, essentially, well, we need the Latino vote back. But, you know, the bottom line is it doesn't matter why they're going to do something or why we could get something done at this point, I suppose, does it?
No, and it's sort of frustrating that it had to take an election. The Republicans, as frustrated as I get with them, they're not all stupid.
Right.
And they figured out what happened in the election, and they figured out what's going to happen in 2014 and 2016. I don't know if that's going to make a whole lot of difference with the Latino community. They're not, they're bright people also, but we will see. But put that aside, it is really good for the country. You can't have 11 million people. Most of them, 95%, 99% of them are hardworking people, contributing to our society, raising their kids here, want to be part of our society, and you can't just pretend they're not there.
Well, and you heard John Boehner already said he hopes the president's careful not to drag the debate to the left and ultimately disrupt the difficult work that's ahead in the House and the Senate. We were just reading the president's approval rating at 60%, approval for his inaugural address. Again, bottom line is the American people agree with the president on this issue, among others, right?
Absolutely. I think on this issue it's probably higher than 60% when you dig down into it. I have no idea what Boehner thinks, how this could be dragged to the left. This is a human rights issue. This is good for the country. It's not a right or left issue.
Well, you know, and interesting, Joe, because you also heard when the Republicans try to divide, they would think they try to cast labor as somebody that would be against this, right? Because, oh, they're taking our jobs, that whole argument, right?
Well, you're not going to find any labor leader saying anything like that because right. We don't believe it. We have immigrants that are paying union dues, undocumented and documented, and they're good hard workers. And this is the right way to approach this issue, to get good reform, get a path to citizenship, and let those people be treated just like I am and you are.
Joe, one of the cracks that emerged after the president spoke yesterday is Marco Rubio, the senator from Florida, among others, said faulted Obama for not making citizenship pathway contingent on tighter border security. Is this one of the things we're going to face where the Republicans are never going to say border security is tight enough in order to enact the other things that need to be enacted?
Well, that I think is their issue. I guess if you put a 20-foot wall up from Miami all the way to San Diego and even put it out in the ocean, if somebody found a 21-foot ladder, that wouldn't be good enough for them.
Yeah.
That's a phony issue. Our border security now is better than it has ever been, I think.
By the way, as you recall, the only way to get an applause line in the Republican primary was to electrify the fence, as Herman Cain. So you're right. There's nothing secure enough, right?
I wonder which Republican would be stupid enough to go up and see if it was on.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, probably a bunch of them.
Joe, what do you make of? I mean, the president obviously warned the debate will be difficult, but vowed to send his own legislation to Capitol Hill if lawmakers don't act quickly. What do you make of that?
I think what the Republican is trying to forestall is what happened for the last 4 years, where McConnell said we're not going to pass anything, we're going to beat the president in 2012. They didn't do that. And I think it was a warning shot from the president. I think it was veiled, but I think if you're going to do that, I'm going to go right to the people on this. And I think the president, I think he feels that he's got that 60%, maybe even more, and I think he's going to use it. I think if you look at a different President Barack Obama than you looked at 4 years ago when he thought he could reason with someone on the far right. And he found out he couldn't, now he's going to leave.
Right.
And that's what I expect the president to do.
Well, Joe, it seems to me, again, the right runs the same play every time, whether, when we talk about in Wisconsin, when they try to, separate public sector and private sector employees, when they try to, when they call union people, you people, as if, you're not Americans. I mean, I think that, and I know one of the stumbling blocks with this is going to be not just how to structure a path to citizenship, but whether same-sex couples are included, right? And John McCain already called that issue a red flag because, it's just there's always a openness, not for everybody, right, on their side.
Yeah, that makes me crazy. Whether you're gay, whether you're straight, whatever label you want to put on yourself, we're all people. We're all human beings. We all deserve a place in this society. This division of society, I guess, and I'm old enough to remember the civil rights movement and then the women's movement and all this, but we're all people. And McCain, he's smarter than that.
Yeah.
I think that's a delaying tactic, and I think that the American public are going to blow right by him. He got to go talk to some young people. They don't even understand. They don't get it.
To apologize for all his fear-mongering on what would happen if Don't Ask, Don't Tell were overturned, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, Joe, yeah. I am hopeful this time, as are you, and as long as there's people like you in the trenches fighting the good fight, always great to talk to you and your folks. I love the United Food and Commercial Workers Union that you lead, and always great to talk to you. We'll talk again soon.
All right, Stephanie, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Joe. There he goes. Joe Hanson.
Yeah,
awesome.
He is awesome.
Salt of the earth.
Yep.
Love that. Love him.
Let's drink to the hardworking people.
See, I always try to trigger a little Mick.
That's Keith.
Keith, right.
Oh,
Lynn in North Carolina. Oh, dear.
Bless your heart.
Oh, dear. I got the wrong stone.
Nice.
Hello,
Stephanie.
Lynn. Hi, Lynn.
How you doing this morning?
Good. Go ahead.
A lot better than yesterday. I just have one thing that I'd like to say. First of all, if Wayne LaPierre was any smarter, he'd be a hammer. And if those gun nuts that follow him around, if you raise their IQ 4 points, they'd be rocks. But they're always talking about the Second Amendment, but they never talk about the Third Amendment.
Which is?
The Third Amendment states, no soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without consent of the owner, nor in time of war, in any manner to be, but in a manner prescribed by law. And it basically comes from the Intolerable Acts in the 1760s, where the colonists were being required to pay to house the redcoats.
Right. And what, you know, what's interesting, Len, is I just put a pocket constitution in my purse that the ACLU sent me, so I could have gotten that in a second, but thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Actually, do I make the lunge? Let me read. What's the Third Amendment?
I think
exactly.
The point is that some of the amendments are a little antiquated.
Yeah.
Do you think a scotchy bit?
Well,
I've never had to house any redcoats in my house.
No.
No, I've never been asked. Okay. All right. Oh, I have a question. So yesterday I was recovering from my, bout with the food poisoning.
Yes.
And so I was watching. I got screeners. Has anyone seen Silver Linings Playbook?
I've heard it's really, really good.
It's
Bradley Cooper.
Sort of.
Is
it's
amazing.
Maybe. Yes, he was really good in it. But maybe because I was sick, I found it irritating. And I have questions if people have seen it. So you guys haven't seen it?
No. So let's not talk about it because I would like to see it.
Oh, so I can't? I'll blow it for
you?
Yeah,
you kind of will.
Just like in Titanic, the ship sinks. The part, Rosebud's the sled.
Well, the part where Dr. Strangelove takes the mask off.
Right.
Great.
And Lillian Gish.
Okay, you know, I just have questions. Have you ever been irritated by a movie because you don't understand it? Well, I don't. I found parts of it implausible. I know. I thought he was really good. It was a little irritating in the first part, and then there were other parts in the end that were unbelievable. That's all. Okay, questions. I can't ask anybody because I can't tell you.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of that director. So
okay.
David O. Russell. I love pretty much all of his movies. Okay. So
Can I just say the one thing, Jim, about the psychiatrist becoming friends with him later? That never doesn't happen. That's ethically whatever.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks.
Well, that's not a big plot line. But it's just I have questions about it. See, now I'm gonna have to ask Jim during the break. 45 minutes, fine, because you haven't seen, because you know what? You haven't seen anything.
I have seen things.
I may have fallen asleep before the end of the movie. In fact,
okay.
I'm pretty sure I did. But
oh, well, then you won't have any idea what I'm going to ask you. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Fresh Republican outrage. You keep listening, she'll make more. It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
See what you did there?
I see.
Yep.
But I can't understand what they're saying.
In honor
song.
Of Joe Hanson, president of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union. Salt of the earth.
Here's
to the hardworking people. Here's to the union folks.
I can't understand what they're saying in this.
Here's to
this wasn't one of their
the
hits.
Hardworking people.
Was it?
In 1968.
Yeah, but it's not one of their perennial hits, like, you know, Get Off My Cloud or something.
I like it.
I know you do. That's great. Why you made me put it together.
Say a prayer for the common foot soldier.
See? How liberal are you?
Okay. It's not Jumpin' Jack Flash, is what I'm saying.
It's a song about the hardworking people. Okay, the president on immigration.
I got
reform.
That part. Thanks.
Okay. At this moment, it looks like there's a genuine desire to get this done soon, and that's very encouraging. But this time, action must follow. We can't allow immigration reform to get bogged down in an endless debate. We've been debating this a very long time.
Yeah, exactly. And I was saying to Senator Boxer earlier, the key difference is Senator Rubio calls Rush to run stuff by him, whereas Senator Boxer just calls to tell me what's up. She doesn't call to ask what I think, which is as it should be.
What does Rubio. Rush think?
Rush, what do you think about this?
What should I do? How should we govern, Rush?
Senator Rubio made the case for immigration reform to Rush Limbaugh, as you do.
Wow.
Can you even imagine Senator Boxer going, I'm thinking about this legislation. Stephanie, what do you think?
Let's ask Weird Al Yankovic.
But make clear his willingness to blow up talks if he thinks the bill is moving too far to the left. And as Joe Hanson just said, our union president, this isn't a left or right. This is a human issue.
Left-wingers would say that.
This is what gay rights has become. It's a human issue. It's not left or right anymore. Pay attention. I love Joe Hanson. He's like, talk to a young person. He said, Limbaugh, who said on Monday, it's up to me and Fox News to kill immigration reform. And then he denied he said it.
We have that in coming
right.
up in right now.
We have it on tape.
Yeah.
Right.
I never said that. I didn't say that. I'm always accused of things I didn't say. You know,
well, they play the tape, and it turns out I did, and I look like an idiot. Did I say that out loud?
I mean, would you like a preview of it? I mean,
I can't even watch those clips anymore with the cigar smoke. Like, talking about backroom deals. Yeah. Rubio running by the legislation by him. All right, go ahead.
Obama's already given us de facto amnesty anyway. He did it with the children of illegal immigrants via the executive order back last year. It was prior to the election. I mean, thanks to Obama, now you have amnesty unless you get convicted of a major felony.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that there's any stopping this. It's up to me and Fox News, and I don't think Fox News is that invested in this.
Uh-huh. And then he denied the next day that he said that.
But we just played it.
Right.
I never said that. That wasn't me.
I love he said to Senator Ruby he feared that he was being exploited to advance Democratic goals.
Because, you know, you Latinos are such dummies. What have I said?
Rubio said, I'm not going to be part of a bidding war to see who can put the most lenient path forward if Obama demands a smoother path to citizenship. You know, let's make it as hard and as egregious as possible so no one will come forward. Wouldn't that work better?
Mm-hmm.
Limbaugh questioned the political utility of a deal, because that's the really important part, not the part that involves human beings or anything.
Wow.
Saying he'd reviewed scholarly research, my friend, indicating that immigrants no longer came to America to better their lot through hard work, but instead because they believed the government's the source of prosperity. In short, they were not viable Republicans. They're just, you know, moochers like the rest of us,
47%. Yeah.
In addition to his fear that immigrants may lack a basic sense of industry and responsibility, Rush added he worried Republicans would be falsely attacked as intolerant. Because of the thing he just because of that thing he just said right before that part. Why would they be attacked as... That's weird. That's crazy. Why would they be attacked as intolerant? Because he just said that he thinks that they're too lazy and not hardworking enough to be Republicans. So
What did I say?
What did I say?
Oh, brown people are so sensitive.
They just lack some kind of chip.
Yes. Sensitivity chip.
Something.
As Jennifer Aniston would say. That's a well-known fact, being Team Jen. Things like that stick in my head. Okay, Woody in Ithaca, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Woody.
Hey, Mama, how are you?
Good, baby, go ahead.
Now, last night I was watching Al Jazeera. Of course, not strange to you hearing that. Yeah, but Marco Rubio, he's from Cuba. And
yes.
Some of the things that I heard Marco Rubio talk about with being so hardline, he refusing at first the dream.
As you recall, his parents fled Castro before Castro was even in power, so that was really their psychic Cubans.
And then the thing that people from Peru and Mexico and everything that they went through, Marco Rubio family didn't go through it because the American government has a policy that just crossed from Cuba and everything is taken care of in terms of immigration or your status. The people from Cuba, they don't suffer as the other people suffer here.
Right.
Yeah, that's why the people from Cuba just have to come on the boat, on the ship, and the government will take care of the immigration policy. So Marco Rubio shouldn't be at the face of the Senate there.
Woody, but this is what Republicans do, is they put forth a brown face and go, look, we have one. And then that's supposed to, Hispanics are easily duped. Like Senator Boxer said, that was hilarious. She goes, do they not think they're listening to Hispanics when John McCain says this is to let the Latino vote? Do they not think Latinos can hear?
Hispanics,
we heard that.
Hispanics watch CNN, too. They like the Wolf Blitzer.
Yep.
The Latinos hear a quien.
I even think they probably carried that on Univision.
Stephanie in Illinois. Vision?
That's French, I know.
You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steph.
Hey, morning, folks.
Good morning.
You know, Steph, don't be too distracted about watching the cat. The other day I was watching my dog chase his tail for about an hour, and you know, saying how easy is how easily entertained he is.
Right.
Then I realized I was watching my dog chase his tail for an hour. But anyway, I was listening to Fox because you weren't here, and I was just punishing myself.
Right.
And Marco Rubio made one of these comments. I can't remember what, but the three things they brought out about gun control was, one, that slavery would not have taken place if blacks were allowed to own guns.
Right.
When the country began. And then the other part about the, you know, that Martin Luther King would have been for on the side of the NRA because, you know, civil rights would have done better if blacks were loaded up with weapons, and that the Holocaust would not have taken place if Jews were had stockpiles of guns and stuff. But, and I was thinking, you know, France and England tried to stop Germany, and it took the whole world 5 years to stop this guy.
Tanks and airplanes.
Yes,
Germans had tanks and
submarines.
Yeah.
Right. Good luck with your rifle against a German tank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cannons.
Yes. Thank you, Steph. Good points. Okay.
Artillery. Yeah.
Right.
And Martin Luther King was killed by a rifle.
Yeah.
So
Germans had planes too.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you. Okay.
They didn't have planes in Poland.
Jill in Ithaca, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
They
welcome.
Not in the Warsaw ghettos.
Yeah, right.
Good morning.
I thought you guys. I thought you were on your way to your pull-out joke. Don't go there.
No.
I'm a puller. Okay.
I know you are.
Hi, Jill.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm glad you're.
Oh.
Oops.
Jill hung up on herself. I'm not certain why she felt the need to do that.
Well,
okay.
Sometimes they get a little scared when they start talking.
She got scared.
Like, I'm on the radio. Okay, bye.
All right, bye. Albert in Miami.
Oh, yes. I got a little bit of confusion over there. How you guys doing
good.
Today?
Go ahead.
I'm very happy to be able to see you guys on Current TV, by the way.
Good. Now you only have 20 seconds left.
Oh, my God. Well, no. Well, my comment is this. On the gun debate, they really should change it to the assault rifle debate, quite frankly. Because these assault rifles are not guns at all. These assault rifles are...
They're military weapons. There you go. I'll finish for you. All right. 58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You're listening to the best of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Every day is a wonderland around here. We're getting ready to do Right Wing World. Just glanced down briefly, and guess who's the first soundbite?
Stephanie Miller.
Yes.
No idea. You didn't tell me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm so excited.
Well, you only got here 30 seconds.
It's like the day I was named Miss Congeniality.
Well, yeah.
It's so exciting. I made Sean Hannity again. Awesome.
My name was on the Chiron, too.
Oh, awesome.
I get caught in the shrapnel.
Awesome. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. No one brought me flowers or a tiara. Damn it. All right, Stephanie.
You don't send me flowers.
Right, exactly. Well, you never have. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, shrapnel catcher, Crystal Boyd.
Yeah.
Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Very, very exciting. Representative Joe Courtney of the great state of Connecticut coming up this hour.
Yep.
But first, here he is.
Oh.
No. Yeah, there you go.
That one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. WholeFightStrategies.com. Not since I cuddled him for a 2 a.m. dinner in Washington, D.C., have I?
Good morning.
2 a.m. dinner that turned into a 4 a.m.
I don't know what happened there.
It?
All I know is I spooned with Carl Frisch.
All I know is that right about now, Sean Hannity's got like a wall of cutouts from magazines of Stephanie in his apartment in New York. I think it's getting a little upset at this point.
It's a little creepy. Is this the left wing hate speech segment?
Yeah, with Brian Mulroney.
Is it only me every week?
Yeah, well, pretty much. You and Mike Malloy and Ed Schultz.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What would he do without me? Propping up an entire segment, Carl Frisch.
He likes you. He wants to date you.
He wants to kiss me. All right, well, a little cha-ching, cha-ching, Sean, you know. Okay.
At least he spelled your name right.
Listen, keep using the sound bites. We'll make more.
I mean, you know, with Fox News' ratings where they are, it's only a matter of time before they try and get you over there.
I heard. Oh, Carl Frisch, you scamp. Are you bringing up the story that Fox News ratings have hit an 11-year low in January cable news figures? Is that what you're referring to?
Mayhaps.
I like that. I'm going to use that.
Mayhap. No S.
Fox News had its worst primetime ratings in the coveted 25-54 demographic since August 2001, the lowest total day rating since June 2008.
Well, I mean, in fairness to Fox, in the coveted 84-138, they do really well.
Right. And particularly that sweet spot of the 130-38 from what I understand. Yeah. Right. Rachel Maddow, our buddy, our pal, came in 10th because she's, cause, you know, Fox always dominates the top 10 shows.
Right, sure.
She made number 10th. Rock on, my sister. Beating Studio B and the repeat of O'Reilly Factor. If Maddow continues to creep up the list, the story reads, it would mean a real sea change. MSNBC, the only cable news network to grow its ratings from 2012.
Well, Yahoo. I mean, I'm just curious. I don't have my hopes up. I mean, there's a reason why rational Americans watch a variety of different outlets and programs.
Right.
And that crazy right-wing old fat white man watch Fox News. When you segment up the population and you leave that one segment alone, they're always going to have fairly good ratings.
Right.
But what you're seeing is the result of their craziness. When
right.
you tell your audience for months that there's no way that Barack Obama can win,
right.
What do you think happens?
Yes, exactly.
They wake up on election day and they stop tuning in.
Must be a dispirited little bunch.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the problem. Too damn many of us watch it just for entertainment. That's the problem.
Oh, I mean, they should just rename it Schadenfreude TV.
I watch it for work. You make me.
Yep. In fact, let's do it. It's time to dive into the right-wing world. Let's see what's doing, shall we? Oh, this is Brian Mulroney.
The radio equalizer.
Right, right,
because
right.
he equalizes the radio.
Right.
Right.
In that he was a guy with a show once.
On a weekend show.
Right. That so he has him on as the radio expert to talk about who all sucks.
Yeah.
That currently has a radio show.
Exactly.
Okay.
Who's been in radio for, what, 20, how many years?
What's my crime today? I'm marginalizing people who want to protect their home with guns?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, then we got our good friend, little old Stephanie Miller.
Hi,
Stephanie
Sean.
Miller's back. She's blaming talk radio, conservatives, Fox News, because people want to actually protect their homes.
Right, that's what
Meanwhile, we have a lot of crime in the country. Watch this.
Right.
I get the home protection, but to what degree are these people just paranoid? They make it sound like it literally is like the, you know, zero dark 30 rate every night at their house. Yeah. You know, I got to have stuff because there might be snipers and, you know, Navy SEALs and drones.
It's right-wing talk radios and Fox News' job to make people paranoid.
Right.
That's what they do. And they're creating a nation full of paranoid crazies.
Yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Home invasions, rape, robbery, murder.
I didn't say rape. What?
Things really happen. Look at the murder rate in
marginalizing,
Chicago.
Yeah. I mean, they're really marginalizing anyone who believes in the Second Amendment, any NRA member. I mean, there are millions of them, but suddenly they're all in the extreme fringe.
Hmm. Okay. Well,
not suddenly.
No. Very good point, Carl Frisch.
I'm going to sue for libel on your behalf. Not suddenly. And you know what? It's a lot more fun to get caught by newsbusters.
I know. Radio Equalizer is boring.
Yeah, I
mean, I just hear the Debbie Downer music whenever I hear Brian Mulroney.
Right. Right. Yeah, every time I...
At least newsbusters has some spunk.
Every time I hear it back, I'm like, oh, that was pretty funny. That was good.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't think he gets that I was using comedy to kind of heighten the paranoia on some of the
gun nuts. Well, I mean, even still, I mean, they can take things literal. I wonder why comedians are rarely conservative.
Right.
He can take this as literal, you know, things as literal.
Well,
but the reason they do that, when you're confronted with humor that is satire, the reason you take it literal is because you're unwilling to confront the issues the metaphor is trying to express.
The serious point, Carl, I think, and Lawrence O'Donnell talked about this last night, I don't think even these people that testified yesterday, they didn't have one case where anyone has protected their home
with
a military assault weapon. It's not even accurate.
Well, this woman just had this whole hypothetical situation.
What if five guys come in and my babies are crying in the background?
And I need a 30-round clip to take
saying.
Care of all
them. In fairness, I once saw Arnold Schwarzenegger fighting for his daughter in his own home with a giant friggin' assault weapon.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, what are you going to do, Stephanie, when 85 Russians descend
on your home? That's right. See, it goes to my point about the Zero Dark 30 reference. They make it sound like every night it's going to be. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
By the way, there is no Soviet Union anymore.
Right. And somebody was saying if they had one case like that, they would have cited it, Carl, right at the hearings today.
Oh, we would.
That's
we would
the
know,
point.
We'd know the person who did it. Intimately.
They're not accurate weapons. People don't use them for home protection. Anyway. All right.
And by the way, when I said that Fox News was creating a nation of paranoid crazies, I was quoting Bill O'Reilly.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah. When,
Make sure you write that down, Brian Mulroney, for next time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bill O'Reilly.
I think Mulroney's head just exploded.
All right. You know what a liberal that guy is.
Left-wing loon.
Bill O'Reilly will end up in the left-wing hate speech segment.
Yeah.
Sean Hannity's show. All right, Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear.
We tried this for 10 years, and it had no effect.
What?
So what's going on here is a competition between the emotional reaction, what happened in Newtown, which wears off over time the way it always does, and the rational response is, what can we do that will actually work? And as long as you've got a diminishing strength of influence, number one, and on the second one, the more you look at this, it's not had an effect. It's not going to have an effect.
Was she talking about the assault weapons ban, which did have an effect?
Just did have an effect. Attacks with assault weapons have tripled since the ban expired.
Right.
That's an easy number to look up, right?
Well, he meant affect. He meant affect with an A.
Oh.
Yes.
Different. Thank you.
A little different. I love that they still go to Krauthammer.
And I love they always throw this emotional thing at liberals, like, oh, we're just being emotional after Newtown. If you can't have emotion after Newtown, what is emotion
then you're
for?
Dead inside.
Yeah, what is emotion for exactly?
When would
be a good time to get emotional?
They're trying to say that we're incapable of responding to a tragedy by using, you know, sense and you know, common sense or whatever. I don't think the right is capable of doing either, responding with emotion or with common sense.
Clearly the only sensible thing to do is to arm toddlers with AK-47s.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I mean, look at Wayne LaPierre yesterday. It's almost not any emotion, no logic, right? I mean, well, it's ridiculous. The background check, that's the point of that. Criminals aren't going to subject to that. That's the point,
exactly.
You moron.
That's why they can't get a gun, because they don't take the background. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, LaPierre made an ass of himself yesterday.
Yeah, Dick Durbin said that. You missed the point of that. No, you did. No,
you missed the point.
I didn't.
We have that audio coming up.
Yeah. Okay.
I can't believe they still think that he's a good spokesman for them.
I know, right?
Oh, my God. And then everybody played the audio, or the video last night of him saying the exact opposite thing last time he testified.
Yeah, right.
Well, how come he was for background checks in, when was it, 99, Carl?
Yes, 99.
Yeah. Because he knew that Bush wouldn't sign them.
Okay, Rush Limbaugh.
Hispanic immigrants are made to order conservatives.
Oh.
For some reason, culturally, they think that they're invested in hard work and using the Cuban exile model, they're exactly right. But the Hispanic demographic, if you will, or population has shifted. And the Cuban exile model is no longer the dominant model. The Mexican immigrant model is.
Oh.
And that they arrive with an entirely different view of America.
Okay, so he called Mexican immigrants lazy.
But you know what I think is wrong is his so-called Cuban exile model. Who do you think won the Cuban vote this time around and last time around?
Obama.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So this is Rush.
Hispanics are just not behaving properly in general.
Rush Limbaugh's not behaving properly. You look at the rest of the conservative movement.
That's right.
They're all marching in semi-formation to the notion that they need to get immigration reform done.
Yeah.
Rush Limbaugh's a holdout because who happens to be his audience are the xenophobic, old, crusty white guys who, they don't have a rational thought about immigration reform. They see immigrants, and the only word they hear is Mexican.
Yeah. And by the way, might we go on a limb once again out here in Los Angeles, as we've said many times, is every Mexican person I know is the hardest working person that I've ever met. So it's quite honestly, without jokes aside, Carl, that stuff is just racist and horrible.
Yeah. Of course it is.
Trying to divide between Cubans and Mexicans. It's like, they're not lazy like Mexicans. Really?
This coming from a man who used his housekeeper to get his drugs.
Right.
Yeah. Can't get off your fat ass and get your own OxyContin.
She wasn't lazy. So, clearly.
Right. Clearly, she was Cuban.
All right. Chris remains in the sidecar. 17 minutes after the hour. Go to meeting. Kids, I don't understand how anybody runs their business without it anymore. I we're on the road with Sexy Liberal. We were on the road for the inauguration.
We can't get off our couches.
Right. We're clearly lazy. We're lazy gringos, and the point is, go to meeting, let's you meet with whoever you need to, right from your couch, right from your fat bastard Barca lounger.
That's right.
How
do you expect me to mow my own lawn? Really?
Go to meeting by Citrix. A lot of bad weather back east. We have friends in our business that live back east in New York. Roland's in New York. Ron's in New York. John Fugelsang. Sometimes we need to have a go to meeting. We need to look at graphics for Sexy Liberal. We need to look at stuff for the radio show. With go to meeting, easy to stay connected wherever you are. You click on a link, turn on your webcam. Here's the ad. Here's the feature that's cool. It's just not one of those substandard things where you get that weird marbly video and the audio quality dropping out. You get all that crystal clear, and you can collaborate on documents at the same time.
It's magical-like.
Right. PowerPoints, documents. You can work on a document at the same time I'm working on a book. It's incredible. You can launch or join a meeting from anywhere using your computer, smartphone, or tablet. You can even present from your iPad now. Look at me.
Wow.
Look at it. See, if you're watching, you can see that these are the arm movements you see on GoToMeeting.
GoToMovement?
GoToMeeting.
GoToMovement. Yeah, that's coming next from Citrix.
That's different. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Check it out. Once you go to meeting, you're never going back. Don't wait for the special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Don't forget the promo code is Stephanie. 19 minutes after I don't know why I did this. Some people are just listening on the radio, and they're missing all of this. 19 minutes after
the hour.
Looks
like you're having a seizure of some sort.
I am. I'm having some sort of brain-related event.
A grand mal
right,
or something.
Right, yeah. Right. Going to put a pencil on my tongue now. And we'll be back with Carl Frisch and more Right-Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Making right-wing wackos everywhere. Hurl, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right,
it's better than yours.
I could teach you, but I have to charge.
No, we reawakened William F. Buckley.
Who I debated on the television some years ago. Damn right, my milkshake is better than yours.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. Wow. All right. Hi, Carl Frisch.
Hello.
Somehow that song reawakens the ghost of William F. Buckley. We apologize. All right. She's new. Mary Walter is a Fox News guest.
Please and thank you.
Please and thank you. She had some thoughts, Carl, on immigrants.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
It is very easy to live here and not speak English and not be a citizen and still have a wonderful life and still get your children education and still get health care. You're assuming that they're going to want to jump through those hoops and that they're going to want to pay taxes. That's a big assumption.
That's the pathway to citizenship. You got to pay the fines.
Citizenship. Maybe they want to continue living illegally and not paying taxes and enjoying all the benefits.
You know, being lazy and all.
Right.
Yeah. There's a giant portion of the Fox News audience that doesn't speak English.
They speak
the accent is so thick that you'd have to cut it with a knife. But this is what's fascinating here is it shows as the immigration debate heats up, I want people to read their coverage of the immigration debate on Fox News Latino while they watch Fox News. And you will see a news agency, a news outlet at war with itself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Carl, maybe I'm missing the logic of every time we get into this immigration debate, I don't get it. If we do nothing, all of those same 11, 12 million people are still going to be here.
Like, Stephanie, the way they look at it is these are Mexicans who do our yards and clean our houses.
Right.
If they get legalized, if they get the amnestied, then we're going to have to pay them more and give them benefits.
Oh, yeah, that would.
They're also brown and not deserving of the same rights and responsibilities
right.
as we.
I see. Okay, thanks for the right-wing world primer. Okay,
yeah.
Bill O'Reilly to Colin Powell.
Yes, who was a guest on his program.
Right.
I bet he treated him with respect.
Yes, oh, sure.
You being who you are, a traditional guy, wounded in Vietnam, served his country, patriot guy. By supporting as actively as you did Barack Obama, you also put yourself in a category of intolerance on issues like entitlement culture. When you yourself were born in the South Bronx and you made it on your own, the entitlement culture now extends to 50% of the American homes. All right? Huge rise in it. So you're putting yourself in that bracket by supporting the Democratic Party through Barack Obama, who it seems their values are different than yours, General.
Wow. He just brought him on to lecture him about the entitlement culture?
Wow.
I don't know why anybody of seriousness would ever go on O'Reilly's show. I mean, this is the likely treatment that you'd get.
Yeah.
I do like how all those things that Bill mentioned that make Colin Powell who he is, there is nothing in Bill O'Reilly's character that is of any match.
Right. So that's always nice. But the truth is, Bill O'Reilly obviously doesn't know what he's talking about, but he's part of the same group of people at Fox News that claimed that Colin Powell only endorsed, and he couldn't come out right
black,
and say this
right.
to Colin Powell's face, but that he only endorsed President Obama because they were both black.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Sean Hannity on the radio.
We've become Europe. Uh-huh. Obama seems to have succeeded in a large measure to transform America. There's a lot of talk these days about how the GOP can come back politically. I'll tell you right now, the quickest possible way politically, if it happens again in the next quarter, that's a recession. If and when that happens.
Great. Good plan.
Sorry, no more blaming Bush. We're going to put a moratorium on blaming Bush on this program. This is the Obama economy you're living under.
So you want to cause a recession.
He's rooting for a recession.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I mean, this is like after 9/11 when all the right-wing radio hosts were, you know, saying, oh, there's never been an attack under this president. And then when Kerry ran and when Obama ran, it was, oh, it's only a matter of time before there's an attack. As if a terrorist attack on their watch would be any different than one on Bush's.
Right.
Now they want to lay blame of their obstinance and their obstruction at the feet of this president.
But yep. It's the austerity they're pushing that causes.
Right.
Same thing happened in Europe.
Yes.
I mean, in Europe, they did all kinds of cuts. And then they were shocked when they had a double dip.
The same thing happened to Roosevelt in 1937. He listened to the deficit hawks.
Yep, there you go. Carl Frisch, a delight in person, to cuddle or on the phone.
Have a good one.
Love you. Miss you already.
Bye.
Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, Representative Joe Courtney next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Indicated
Stephanie Miller
was drunk at the helm. Those reports were later confirmed.
Oh, the commercial breaks when I share way too much private information about my...
What did your bed smell like?
Like I woke up in a pile of dirty diapers. No, I'm just saying, you know, when you have really bad food poisoning, I'm still eating my Pedialyte popsicle, and I'm having a little gastrointestinal situation still. Everything's fine. You know what'll make it better?
What?
You know.
Visitor
yeah.
from
right.
from Current TV.
Right, exactly. Because Jim Ward's out at a thing with a guy at a voiceover thing.
I think she gets up in that's the night right. and burns right. the lights. The only one who didn't fail and got it right was Jackie Schechner.
Good morning, Jackie Schechner. Welcome to
you
Way
know
Too Much
I know
Information.
Healthcare policy. I'm not an actual doctor.
Oh,
right?
Oh, oops.
Damn. I always forget that. I forget that from the number of times Jim has asked for you to show up in your naughty nurse outfit. I always forget. Healthcare reform, you were an expert on. That's right.
How you feeling?
I'm okay. I'm a little rumbly in my tumbly still, but I'm okay.
Okay. Are you eating at least?
Yeah, sort of.
She had soup earlier, and she's eating a Pedialyte popsicle.
Right. I'm like a baby.
Okay. Yeah, you have to get some actual solids in there at some
right,
point.
Right, right, right. I'm on it. Jackie Schechner, before we dive into right-wing world, Hillary Clinton Super PAC has been launched.
Yes, 2016. We announced that yesterday. It's called Ready for Hillary.
Right. Our purpose is simple. We're ready to work for Hillary President when she's ready to run.
Mm-hmm. Now, she insists it's grassroots.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no. It's supposedly a woman who is an avid Hillary supporter. Mm-hmm. She and seven other co-founders put it together. They've already got 50,000 followers on Twitter, and they're not going to have a web presence, like a website or anything like that, up for a couple of weeks. But you know what? There is such a grassroots support for Hillary. There
yeah.
are a lot of women and a lot of men who
yeah.
are really excited about the prospect of her running. And I will tell you where that this is not just national. This is global, because
right.
she held a global town hall yesterday, Senator
yeah.
or Secretary of State Clinton did, and a bunch of the questions from all over the world were about whether or not she's going to run for president.
Yeah, I enjoy just the montages of her dancing. Were enough
to
vote for her, because if there is a worse white woman dancer than me, that is her. That.
Well, they insisted in this article yesterday about her super PAC that it was not her usual team of advisors, that this
yeah.
was actually just avid supporters. So.
Yeah, everybody's just speculating at this point. I was saying there was an opinion piece and someone saying that Biden, they don't think Biden or Hillary are going to run because of age. But
yeah.
who can say? We're so far out, right?
Yeah, it's tough to tell me a lot can happen in 4 years.
And the president was just inaugurated last week, for God's sake.
Right, that's what he said in the joint interview with Hillary. He said, I was inaugurated 4 days ago.
And he's young. I mean, right. President Obama is a young president. Right. So it's not unheard of that an older candidate would be.
You know who people
viable?
Do not want to run for president? That would be Rick Perry.
Yeah.
They actually
for like 1,000 reasons.
Right. Oops. Three reasons I can't remember, and now two of them. His approval rating in the gutter. Texas Governor Rick Perry approaches 2014 with a large majority of his constituents indicating they prefer he did not seek another term, according to a new poll. 54% of Texas voters say they disapprove of the job he's doing. A larger majority, 62%, say he should not seek re-election next year. 79% of Texas voters, including 66% of Republicans, say Perry should not run for president in 2016.
I would say that the only person whose numbers are comparable would be Rick Scott.
Right.
In Florida.
You're right.
Right. Yeah, exactly. All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Jackie's never come along in the sidecar before.
Yeah.
The right-wing world.
Done right-wing world with us?
Wee! Don't be scared, little girl. Okay. Bill O'Reilly on the immigration reform.
What about the 37% of immigrant families, and for illegal immigrants, the number is 47%. That are on some kind of means-tested welfare. Should that be part of the legislation? Because what I'm getting at here is I understand the political strategy. I think everybody does. GOP needs to get more Hispanic votes. But if you legalize everybody that's here and they get more on the welfare entitlement train,
oh my
which they
God.
Are now, I don't know if that's good for the nation.
You know why they're not going to get more of the Latino vote, regardless of what happens on immigration reform? Because they keep saying things like that.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and I was just looking. Chris, you just sent me a piece about the Latinos. Here's a little bit breaking news for everybody. They didn't vote just on immigration reform.
Right.
They're not one-issue voters. They voted on the economy like a lot of us did.
Yeah. I mean, it's so funny to me that they can come out and say, you know, we know we need to get more of the Hispanic vote, so we're just going to pander,
right?
By saying that we're in support of some sort of immigration reform, but they don't actually believe in it. It's not actually anything substantive for them.
I love what Senator Boxer said on the show this morning. Don't they think Latinos can hear too?
Yeah,
we heard you say that. Yeah. All right, Sean Hannity.
President Barack Obama delivered his second inaugural address, which will probably be remembered as the most liberal speech of his entire left-wing political career. And as you know, it came at a time when his administration happens to be engaged in an all-out assault on the Second Amendment and the rights of law-abiding Americans. However, it seems that trampling on your right to keep and bear arms is simply not enough for this president. No, now he is setting his sights even higher. So what's his next target? The First Amendment, of course. According to the Anointed One, the reason why he's failed on the economy, failed to create jobs, failed to rein in radical extremism abroad is because some of us have dared to speak out against his agenda.
Oh.
The Anointed One?
Yeah.
As opposed to the Elected One?
Is it wrong when new polls come out? I just picture Sean Hannity's head exploding. Obama approval rating hits 3-year high, inaugural address, incredibly popular.
Yeah, his approval rating is now the highest it's been since his first year in office. Yeah.
Right, and hey, guess what, Sean? It mirrors the election results.
Yeah.
What people think of his inaugural address, which is what he ran and won on, right?
But you raised a good point, Jackie. He's not the anointed one. He is the elected one.
Right.
Yeah, they live in this fantasy land where somehow he's created this monarchy. It just doesn't exist.
I'm sure that was a teleprompter error at Fox.
Of course.
As is wont to happen there. I'm sure they'll correct that post haste.
Any day now.
Peter Johnson, whose name is Peter Johnson. Okay.
Is he an actual guy?
Yeah. Fox News.
Okay. Fox News stands for the First Amendment today, as does Rush Limbaugh. The job of Fox News is to go after policies and to go after politicians in a constructive way. Fox News has the best reporters in America and the best commentators and thinkers in America. If that upsets the President of the United States or the Democratic leadership, then so be it. Without a free Fox, there's not a free America.
Really? Andrea Tantaros is a thinker?
When you think of Ted Brown, Steve Doocy, and Brian Kilmeade, that's the word that comes to mind, right,
thinker.
Jackie?
Thinkers. No, they're the greatest thinkers. When I modeled my journalism career, they're the men that I modeled.
The big thinkers.
Yeah, definitely.
Nice. Yep. They're, no, Gretchen Carlson, but they're...
The shorter the skirt, the closer to God.
That's
there
right.
you go.
Melted butter sculpture, Gretchen Carlson.
All right. John. on Scott and Doug, somebody, I don't even know who that is, on Fox News.
McElway.
Right, that
There's
guy.
New reaction to what could be a dramatic reversal for the Boy Scouts of America as the group considers easing its long-standing ban on gay members. For families who've long seen the Boy Scouts as a refuge for traditional values, the proposed policy change is deeply disturbing.
Oh, dear.
A refuge for traditional values?
A refuge
values?
For gay bashers. Oh, no.
That's why I joined the Boy Scouts.
What? It was a refuge. Yeah. You can escape that whole monolith of liberalism.
Exactly.
Here, let's make s'mores.
The gay agenda that's permeating society.
Let's make s'mores and stay away from the gays. Come in the tent.
I quit because all they did was play Dungeons and Dragons. I'm like, okay, I'm out of here. Too many swords and elves for me here.
You're weird.
Why do you mean I'm weird? I quit because of that.
Buster Wilson on the American Family Radio. You might have missed this, Jackie.
I'm a Bible believer. I'm a Christian. And in our Bible, we see God rain down destruction on an entire city and people group because of the wickedness of homosexuality. And I don't want to continue to see every area of life in America succumb to the pressure of political correctness from the forces on the side of the homosexual agenda. I am worried about what God will do with this nation if we are not careful.
So it's not climate change. It's the gays. I apologize.
It's the homosexual agenda. Where is the John Fugel saying religious truth squad when you need it?
Yes.
My bad. Apologize. Not climate change. My fault.
You're spending a little too much time on this agenda, the two of you.
I have not even gotten a copy of it. I don't know what the deal is. All right. U.S. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, personal favorite. He emphatically rebutted the notion the Constitution is a living document. He said it's not a living document. It's dead, dead, dead. I don't.
But if a document is designed to have the ability to be changed, then it can be considered a living document. If it can't be changed, if it is set in stone, then sure, it's dead. But you can change the Constitution.
Right. That's what I it just worries me, Jackie, with marriage equality and other stuff coming up. He's like a cuckoo bananas Fox talking point now.
Yeah, I'm starting to worry about this whole life term thing because it seems to me as some of these people get older, they start to lose it. It doesn't make any sense. They're not changing with society, and that's the problematic.
Right.
Is that as our social norms change and what we learn and grow with as society changes, then so should the opinions of our justice system, I would imagine.
Yeah.
At least in a reasonable society.
Yeah, well. That's so cute and hopeful. Such a plucky, cute little news girl.
Just like waking up on Christmas morn, all blinky.
She's all blinky.
Uh-huh.
All right, Jackie Schechter, can you stay or do you have to go do your news type situation?
I have to go do some news things.
Well, thank you for joining us, even for
it's my pleasure. How'd I do in the sidecar?
You were fabulous. Get out now. We love you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
See you tomorrow, 45 minutes after the hour. Back with Celebrity Stack and the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human Prozac. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Let's get it started just in time to end the show.
Yeah, up in here. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 49 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website, SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. We may have a big Sexy Liberal announcement this week. Roland, high-strung Sexy Liberal tour director, has the weirdest dreams about me ever. He just wrote me, said, Steph, I had a dream last night that you were engaged to Jennifer Hudson. That's the weirdest dream ever. Okay.
I don't think she's that way.
No. All right. Hey,
what?
Guess who is that way?
Who?
And we didn't know was alive. Jim Nabors. She's buried his golly.
First thing I thought of when I heard that news was, wow. He's...
See, that's the stage I'm at in my career. Probably if news about me hits the internet, people are like, oh, is she alive?
She's still here?
Wow. She's
well,
still
good
on the
for
radio.
Him. Congratulations.
Good for him. Yeah, she just married his longtime male partner in Seattle.
Yep.
They've been together 38 years. He is 82.
Yeah.
I just did that for the chance to say, why?
You are the world's foremost Jim Nabors impersonator.
Jim's in a voice job. And I'm
you did a great job
thank
for
you.
Being a chick.
Here is my Marco Rubio impression.
I think there's this false argument that's been advanced by the left that conservatism and Republicans are anti-immigrant and anti-immigration. And we're not, never have been. On the contrary, we are pro-legal immigration. And we recognize that our legal immigration system needs to be reformed. We also recognize, because conservatism has always been about common sense, that we do have this existing problem that has to be dealt with in the best way possible.
That was eerie, wasn't it, how good that was?
That was awesome.
Right?
You even did a phone call.
I was working on that all night long. All right, Marco Rubio, one more time.
If this endeavor becomes a bidding war to see who can come up with the easiest, quickest, and cheapest pathway to green card possible, this thing is not going to go well, folks.
Right. Mm-hmm. So let's make it as hard and as punitive and as awful as possible so no one will ever come out of the shadows. It'll defeat the purpose entirely.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah, see?
Just because your parents fled Castro before Castro came to power because they were psychic Cubans, you can't expect everyone to be so lucky. Okay. It's just a couple of holes in his story about his parents. His parents actually fled Cuba before Castro came to power. Anyway, It's not important right now.
Pay no attention to that.
Don't pay no attention. It doesn't go with the narrative. Okay. Representative Marsha Blackburn, please and thank you. Teabagger. From Tennessee.
I want to make certain is that it is not amnesty. But I have to tell you, I think this is some of the particulars and the legislative language that people want to see. What we've learned is if you grant amnesty, what do you get? More amnesty, more illegal entry. And so what we want to make certain is that we have learned those lessons. So let's see what the legislative language is going to be. Let's see, make certain it's going to be fair.
I think amnesty is the most helpful language ever. That and calling human beings illegals.
Helpful.
Okay, Josh in Memphis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Josh.
How you doing, Miss Steph?
Good.
Walmart, a couple days or about a week ago, announced that all retired vets they would have a job for. I would like to thank them for offering to pay our vets that have risked their lives for us $8.50 an hour, less than they need to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nice of them. Nice.
I thought so, too. I thought, how awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Dan in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dan.
Hello. Hey, just to get back on the guns for a second.
Yes.
How about we register the guns as they're being sold with the background checks so that when all these murders, like in Chicago, we've got already 50-plus murders in Chicago this year, which is astronomical. They mostly got illegal weapons. If we can track those guns to who purchased them, who bought it from this guy, who bought it from this guy, don't you think that would actually help registration and background checks?
Yeah. The NRA, you know, Wayne LaPierre is testifying today. He has no interest in what's going to help. That's the thing. Everything they say, they talk out of both sides of their mouth. They don't want, you know, violent, mentally ill people to get guns, but they don't want to do anything that makes an actual background check work. I mean, it's. Okay, Lester in Nevada, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Lester.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Thanks for having my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to speak briefly about the nut wing of the Republican Party. They're doing a great disservice to people in the middle that are moderate and want to see real action and real fixing our problems instead of just knee-jerk reactions, hate-mongering, and the crap that comes out of Fox News, which is all lies.
Yeah.
They lie all the time.
You know, they're talking points, and you can't solve a problem with talking points. I mean, Wayne LaPierre, they actually released his testimony before he's going to testify today saying what he's going to say is there's no point in background checks because bad people will always get guns.
Right.
It's like, really? So you're just going to stick with that talking point instead of actually coming to the table. Then what's the point? Hey, speaking of gun assaults, Justin Bieber has been accused of assault with a Nerf gun dart.
Can you assault someone with a Nerf?
Apparently. He was preparing for a concert in Ottawa, Canada, back in November. He started shooting Nerf guns with his siblings. At some point, one of the Nerf darts struck a female security guard. The unidentified guard went to the Ottawa police after recovering from her Nerf wound.
Wait, hold on.
I'm guessing if you weren't shot with a Nerf gun by somebody that has a lot of money, you might not probably.
What? Nerf and wound should never be next to each other in a sentence. Ever.
Right. That's the point of nerfs, is it not supposed to... My brother, who had other ways to harm me, like hang me,
right.
He used to throw Nerf balls at
right.
me.
Right. I mean, you're kind of clumsy.
Right.
You've been known to injure yourself. Why don't we just cover your house with Nerf?
I think that's a good idea. By the way, would you like to hear 1 degree of Stephanie Miller's separation with Justin Bieber? So, you know, I flew to Charlotte to take my 90-year-old Republican mom out for her GD Lobster
right.
for her birthday last week.
Yeah.
And I rented a limo and everything
uh-huh.
to make it a fancy date.
Yep.
And we had a little, it showed up, big long limo. My mom's very excited.
Okay.
And then they called and said, we need the limo back because Justin Bieber's in town. And we already rented the limo, and I got into a little thing with the guy on the phone. I'm like, I'm not rushing my mother. It's her 90th birthday. Justin Bieber needed the limo, so they had to.
Justin Bieber should fly with his own limo.
Right. Anyway.
Like the president.
So they gave us another car, but I was like, I'm not rushing my mother through dinner because Justin Bieber needs friggin'.
Was there
somebody going to a Bieber? I don't even know.
Was there a time limit on your limo rental?
No.
Oh, okay.
So my mother is good and ready. When she's done with her GD Lobster and her vodka martinis, that's when we'll be going home.
It's a good thing because your mother may have been shot with a Nerf gun.
All right, everybody calm down. The NFL has defended Beyonce. She is not a pain in the ass. Okay, sure.
It's not what I've heard.
She's getting ready for the Super Bowl.
Right.
Beyonce Knowles is a freaking saint, not the demanding, complaining Super Bowl halftime diva she's been made out to be, according to the NFL.
I don't believe that. I believe that she is super demanding, because that's what Beyonce Knowles does. Because
you're not a single lady. I love me some Beyonce. And you're going to come to my Super Bowl party, and you're going to dance, and you're going to love it. All right.
Oh, okay.
All right. I'm just saying.
You're going to make me go-go, aren't you?
You know, we both have a thing against Taylor Swift.
I don't care.
Taylor
for
Swift,
her.
I don't have a type. Yes, you do. You have a type that includes men you can write songs about after you break their heart.
Right.
She has dated a host of celebrities. No kidding. She said she wrote the song "We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together," which is rightly believed to be about Jake Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal,
right. To remind herself not to take him back. And I'm glad we've had him on, and he's delightful.
He is delightful.
And good. I'm glad you're not with her anymore, Jake. You're too good for her. Just saying. I have a thing. The Taylor Swift thing.
She also dated a Kennedy.
Right. Broke his heart, too. Harumph. Okay, that's it.
Ethel wasn't too happy.
No.
No.
Tell anyone that sets my friend Ethel on my dead-to-me list. All right, see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.